Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman, member by Avram Goldar, and today we're in Sechas Yavamas, Daf Pay Off, the 8th Perek HaOro. So the three dots we're going to focus on, number one, the next Mishnah states, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon say, androgynous Kohen shenasa bas Yisrael machil betruma. An androgynous Kohen who's married to a bas Yisrael entitles her de truma. The Gemara brings him Alchokas Amorim. Reish Lakish said, Machil betruma vein machil bechazav ashok. He entitles her to eat truma, but not the breast and thigh of kachin kohen. But Rabbi Yochanan says, af machil bechazav ashok. He even entitles her to eat the chazav ashok. Reish explains that Reish Lakish holds that an androgynous is a suffik ish, suffik isha. A suffik, whether it's a male or a female. The Gemara clarifies that he permits him to eat truma nowadays, since it's only a truma de rabbanan, but he forbids him from eating from the daraisa, chazav ashok, since it's possible that he's a female, and the androgynous wife would not be considered a wife of a kohen. Rabbi Yochanan holds that an androgynous is a zachar malya, a certain male, and therefore his wife is even permitted to eat from the daraisa, chazav ashok. The Gemara clarifies that Reish Lakish does not permit her to eat from truma de rabbanan when the base of Mikdash will stand, since she might come to eat truma daraisa. Point number two, when Rabbi Yochanan asks Reish Lakish whether he holds that Truma nowadays is only the Rabbanan, Reish Lakish responded that he does, for he learned in a Braisa, Igo be'igulim ola, that a round cake of pressed figs of Truma that got mixed with other round cakes of figs becomes batal. Rashi explains that if Truma nowadays were a deraisa, it would not become batal, for items that are commonly counted when they're sold are considered a davar chashuv, something of significance, which the laws of Bittul do not apply to. Even though truma from figs is only the rabbanan, if truma deraisa also apply nowadays, they would decree that truma derabbanan that is significant should not become batal, so people not come to be mevatal truma deraisa that is significant. Rabbi Yochanan responded that he learned in a braisa that a piece of tamei chatas meat that became mixed with slices of taur chatas meat does become batal, which demonstrates that deraisa prohibited foods that are commonly counted when sold are subject to bittul. Rather, it's only items that are exclusively counted that are deemed a davar chashuv and are not subject to bittul. And pointing with you, the Gemara asks what the case of the pieces that Rabbi Yochanan referred to and brings a price to the tot. Chatiko shechatos tamea, shenis arba b'mea chatiko shechatos tohoros, a piece of chatos tamei meat that got mixed with 100 pieces of taur chatos meats, and similarly a piece of lechem apanim that is tamei, that got mixed with 100 pieces of taur lechem apanim pieces, tale, it becomes nullified. We see from here that the tamei slice of meat, even though it's commonly counted, when it's sold, becomes batal. This contradicts Reish Lakish's opinion that any item which is commonly counted is a davar chashuv and is not batal. Rav Chiya Breid Rav Huna defended Reish Lakish's ruling by explaining the cases being nemucha, with a piece of tamei chatas meat or a piece of tamei lechem apanim that dissolved. Therefore, they are no longer commonly counted and are subject to bittul. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The next Mishnah states, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon say, androgynous Kohen shenasa bas Yisrael machil betruma. An androgynous Kohen who is married to a bas Yisrael entitles her to eat truma. The Gemara brings him Alchokas Amorim. Reish Lakish said, machil betruma vein machil bechazav ashok. He entitles her to eat truma, but not the breast and thigh of kachin kohen. But Rabbi Yochanan says, af machil bechazav ashok. He even entitles her to eat the chazav ashok. Reish explains that Reish Lakish holds that an androgynous is a suffik ish, suffik isha. A suffik, whether it's a male or a female. The Gemara clarifies that he permits him to eat truma nowadays, since it's only a truma de rabbanan, but he forbids him from eating from the daraisa, chazav ashok, since it's possible that he's a female, and the androgynous wife would not be considered a wife of a kohen. Rabbi Yochanan holds that an androgynous is a zachar malya, a certain male, and therefore his wife is even permitted to eat from the daraisa chazav ashok. The Gemara clarifies that Reish Lakish does not permit her to eat from truma derabbanan when the base of Mikdash will stand, since she might come to eat truma daraisa. Point number two, when Rabbi Yochanan asks Reish Lakish whether he holds that truma nowadays is only derabbanan, Reish Lakish responded that he does, for he learned in a braisa, Igo be'igulim ola, that a round cake of pressed figs of truma that got mixed with other round cakes of figs becomes batal. Rashi explains that if truma nowadays were a deraisa, it would not become batal, for items that are commonly counted when they're sold are considered a davar chashuv, something of significance, which the laws of bittul do not apply to. Even though truma from figs is only the rabbanan, if truma deraisa also apply nowadays, they would decree that truma derabbanan that is significant should not become batal, so people not come to be mevatal truma deraisa that is significant. Rabbi Yochanan responded that he learned in a braisa that a piece of tamei chatas meat that became mixed with slices of taur chatas meat does become batal, which demonstrates that deraisa prohibited foods that are commonly counted when sold are subject to bittul. Rather, it's only items that are exclusively counted that are deemed a davar chashiv and are not subject to bittul. And pointing with you, the Gemara asks what the case of the pieces that Rabbi Yochanan referred to and brings a brace to the tot. Chatiko shechatos tamea. She is arba b'meah chatiko shechatos tohoros, a piece of chatos tamei meat that got mixed with 100 pieces of tahor chatos meats, and similarly a piece of lechem apanim that is tamei that got mixed with 100 pieces of tahor lechem apanim pieces, tale, it becomes nullified. We see from here that the tamei slice of meat, even though it's commonly counted, when it's sold, becomes batal. This contradicts Reish Lakish's opinion that any item which is commonly counted is a davar chashiv and is not batal. Rav Chiya Breid Rav Huna defended Reish Lakish's ruling by explaining the cases be nemucha with a piece of tamei chatos meat or a piece of tamei lechem apanim that dissolved. Therefore, they are no longer commonly counted and are subject to bittul. All right, so now we go to our simmer daf pei off, and our standard simmon is a grandpa. So here goes. Grandpa Cohen, who watches androgynous grandson, give his Bas Yisrael wife truma. Sat in his rocking chair munching figs from the mixture of round cakes, oppressed truma and chulin figs, and laughed about the time he mixed a piece of chatos tamei meat with 100 pieces of tahor chatos meat. Once again, slow motion. Grandpa, that must more and duff pay off. Grandpa Cohen, who watches androgynous grandson give his Bas Yisrael wife truma, which reminds us that in the next mission states, Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon say, androgynous Cohen, shenasa Bas Yisrael machil betruma, an androgynous Cohen, who's married to a Bas Yisrael, entitles her to eat truma. The Gemara brings a machil because of a rhyme. Reish Lakish said, machil betruma ve'ein machil b'chaz v'shok. He entitles her to eat truma, but not the breast and thigh of kachin kalim. But Rabbi Yochanan says, af machil b'chaz v'shok. He even entitles her to eat the chaz v'shok. Reish Lakish holds that androgynous is a safek ish, and therefore is only permitted to truma, which is nowadays at the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yochanan holds that an androgynous is a zachar v'adai, and therefore is even permitted to the deraisa, chaz v'shok. So, Grandpa Cohen, who watches androgynous grandson give his Bas Yisrael wife truma, sat in his rocking chair munching figs from the mixture of round cakes of pressed truma and chulun figs, which reminds us, Reish Lakish learns from the case of a round cake of pressed figs of truma that got mixed with other round cakes of figs, that it becomes batal. Rashi explains that if truma nowadays were a deraisa, it would not become batal, for items that are commonly counted when they are sold are considered a davar chashuv, something of significance, which the laws of bittul do not apply to. Rav Yochanan responded that he went in a brisa that a piece of tamei chatos meat that became mixed with slices of tahor chatos meat does become batal, which demonstrates that the rice of prohibited foods that are commonly counted when sold are subject to bittul. Rather, it's only items that are exclusively counted that are deemed the davar chashuv and are not subject to bittul. So, Grandpa Cohen, who watches androgynous grandson give his Bas Yisrael wife truma, sat in his rocking chair munching figs from the mixture of round cakes of pressed truma and chulun figs, and laughed about the time he mixed a piece of chatos tamei meat with 100 pieces of tahor chatos meat. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan's case was where a piece of chatos tamei meat got mixed with 100 pieces of tahor chatos meat, and it became batal. We see from here that the tamei slice of meat, even though it's commonly counted when it's sold, becomes batal. This contradicts Reish Lakish's opinion that any item which is commonly counted is a davar chashuv and is not batal. Rav Chiya Breid Rav Huna defended Reish Lakish's ruling by explaining the cases b'nimucha, where the piece of tamei chatos meat dissolved. Therefore, it's no longer commonly counted and is subject to bittul. So once again, Grandpa Cohen, who watches androgynous grandson give his Bas Yisrael wife truma, sat in his rocking chair munching figs from the mixture of round cakes of pressed truma and chulun figs, and laughed about the time he mixed a piece of chatos tamei meat with 100 pieces of tahor chatos meat. All right, now it's time for a four blot bat chazara. Daf Ein Zayin. So the simmer Daf Ein Zayin is a goat. So here goes. The man whose sword was tied to his goat's back. Goat? That must be more on Daf Ein Zayin. A's. The man whose sword was tied to his goat's back to be used against those who did not accept his halachic tradition, which reminds us, continuing with the account of Doeg's challenges to David's yichus, the Gemara reconciles contradictory psukim where in one pasuk, Amasa, who was married to David's sister, is referred to as the son of Yisrael HaYisraeli, and another pasuk, his father is referred to as Yeser HaYishmaeli. Rav explained that when Doeg wanted to disqualify David, Shechigar Charbo Ki Yishmael, that Yeser girded his sword like Yishmaeli and said, Kol mi she'enu shamei halacha zo yedakar becherev, whoever does not accept the halacha shall be impaled by the sword, for I have received a tradition from the base of Nishmol that the Torah prohibits Ammoni velo Ammonis, Moavi velo Moavis, and therefore David is permitted to marry into the Kahal. So the man whose sword was tied to his goat's back to be used against those who did not accept his halachic tradition decided to use it to cut two Moavi and Ammoni yoke straps off the goat's neck. Which reminds us, Rav expanded, what's the meaning of that which is written, Pataktu Moserai, you've released my yoke straps. David said to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, Shnei Moser Shehayu Alai Pitaktem, the two straps were upon me, you have released, Rus HaMoaviah and Naama HaAmonis. Naama was the wife of David's son Shlomo and the mother of his grandson Rechavam. Therefore, there are two yoke straps who were potentially harmful to the yichus of David's malchus, Rus from Moab and Naama from Ammon. Now that the luck has been resolved, permitting female converts from these nations to marry into the Kahal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu released David from these yoke straps. So the man whose sword was tied to his goat's back to be used against those who did not accept his halachic tradition decided to use it to cut two Moavi and Ammoni yoke straps off the goat's neck and give the goat as a gift to the daughter of an Ammoni ger and a Yisraelis who was about to marry a Kohen. Which reminds us, we have the Malchus Reyochan Reish Lakish, whether the daughter of an Ammoni ger and a Yisraelis is fit for the Kohuna. Daf Ayin Ches. So the Simmer Daf Ayin Ches is a child going Ugh. So here goes. The third generation son of Mitzri Gerim, who went Ugh, child going Ugh, that must be on Daf Ayin Ches. The third generation son of Mitzri Gerim, who went Ugh, that it took so long for him to be permitted into the Kahal, which reminds us, the pasuk regarding Mitzri and Edomi converts states, Bani Mishi Yavaldu Lehem, Dor Shlishi Yavu Lehem B'Kahal Hashem. Sons who are born to them in the third generation may enter into the Kahal of Hashem. A brisa questions, if sons are mentioned, why are generations mentioned, and vice versa? And answers, if sons were stated and generations were not stated, I would have said, Ben Rishon Mesheni Aser Shlishi Mutter, that the first and second son are Aser, but the third son is Mutter. Therefore, the Pasuk says, Doros, generations, and if generations were stated and sons were not stated, I would have said, Osana Omdi Mar Sinai. The Torah is referring to those standing at Har Sinai. So the third generation son of Mitzri Gerim, who went Ugh, that took so long for him to be permitted into the Kahal, was jealous of the fetus of the pregnant Gentile woman, who converted since it didn't even require its own tevila, which reminds us that if Rabbi Yochan does not say Uber Ki Yerach Imo, that a fetus is considered like the thigh of its mother, how does it sit with Rava, who said, Nachus Mu'berish Nisgaira Bana Ein Sarach Tevila? If a pregnant Gentile woman converted, her child does not require immersion. The child is not considered the thigh of its mother, but rather it's a separate entity. Why does the child not require its own tevila? So the third generation son of Mitzri Gerim, who went Ugh, that it took so long for him to be permitted into the Kahal, was jealous of the fetus of the pregnant Gentile woman, who converted since it didn't even require its own tevila, and went Ugh again when the famine in the land entered its third year. Which reminds us, the Gemara relates David's efforts to determine what was the cause of a famine that ended up lasting 3 years. Eventually asked the Urim and Tumim, and Hashem replied that the famine is for Shaul in that they did not eulogize Shaul properly, and also for Shaul's sin that he killed the Givonim. The Gemara clarifies that since Shaul massacred the inhabitants of Nov, the city of Kohanim, who supplied the Givonim with water and food, the Pasuk regards it as though Shaul killed them. Ayin Tess, so the similar Ayin Tess is a pen, and we often use a sofer with a quill. So here goes. The angry scribe, that must be more duff. Ayin Tess. The angry scribe who lacked the merciful, bashful, and kind traits of a Jew, and threw his quills at 7 hanging corpses, which reminds us, the Gemara explains that David decreed against the Nisim when he sought to appease them, and they said they wanted him to give them 7 of Shaul's sons to hang. David sought an alternative way to appease them, but they would not be appeased. David said, Shosh simanim yesh b'umazo, there are 3 simanim of this nation, referring to Bnei Yisrael, harachamanim, baishanim, v'gomli chasadim. The merciful, bashful, and do acts of kindness, whoever has these 3 simanim is worthy to cleave to this nation through marriage. Rashi explains that since the Givonim lacked rachamim, David decreed that they may not marry Jews. So the angry scribe who lacked the merciful, bashful, and kind traits of a Jew, and threw his quills at 7 hanging corpses, had torn up multiple decrees that were made against his people, which reminds us, there were multiple decrees against the Nisim. Moshe decreed for that generation, Yeshua decreed while the temple stood, and David decreed against him for even after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So the angry scribe who lacked the merciful, bashful, and kind traits of a Jew, and threw his quills at 7 hanging corpses, had torn up multiple decrees that were made against his people when he overheard someone call his father Asris Chama moments before his death, which reminds us, Rava said that if only having a shasa kosher, a period of suitability, does not create a need for chalitza, eno chayisha shekasher liyabam, you'll never have a woman that is fit for yibum. For there is no widow whose husband did not become a Sri Chama for one moment prior to his death. The Gemara answers that there it's merely a weakness that has begun for him, not actual sterility. Daf Pei, so the Simmer Daf Pei is a painter. So here goes. The painter, that must be on Daf Pei. The painter commissioned to produce artwork to celebrate the occasion of the child born in the 8th month reaching his 20th birthday, which reminds us, according to Rabbi Avoh, A child born in the 8th month of pregnancy, even if he's fully developed with hair and nails, we do not say that he's a bar kayama, a viable child, until he reaches the age of 20. The more questions whether a ben shmona can live, for it was taught in a brisa, ben shmona haruka evan, a child of the 8th month is treated like a stone and is forbidden to move him on Shabbos. The more answers Rabbi Abba was referring to a case where the child was a full-term 7-month fetus who developed simanim and lingered in the womb for an additional month. Even if he was born with the simanim of a viable child, such as with fully developed hair and nails, the child is not established as a bar kayama until the age of 20. So the painter commissioned to produce artwork to celebrate the occasion of the child born in the 8th month, reaching his 20th birthday, uses Sri's Chama and Eilani's anatomy book as a guide, which reminds us. The Gemara brings a price that listed the various simanim for a Sri's Chama and an Eilani's. So the painter commissioned to produce artwork to celebrate the occasion of the child born in the 8th month, reaching his 20th birthday, used his Sri's Chama and Eilani's anatomy book as a guide to paint a picture of a saris with all the simanim. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a machlokas amoraim regarding the simanim of a saris. Rav Huna says a person is not considered a saris ad shiyukuam until he has all of the simanim, but Rabbi Yochanan says, afio et be'echmehen, he's a saris even if he has just one of them. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing a great day and great learning.